Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welch.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome back. Hour 3 of In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, FNTSY, on the iHeart, on the TuneIn, on the Fantasy Sports app, or on the podcast, when it is up, when it is loaded.
Wherever you can find it, whenever.
Whenever. You can listen to us wherever. I haven't heard that in a long time, by the way. I always love hearing, like, the weird places that people listen to it. They're like, oh, listen. Like, my favorites are always like, oh, I was listening at the gym, and I laughed, and I made a goofy face, and people stared at me, and I'm like, that's good. But, like, we would get, like, weird ones, too. Or the best one was, I don't remember who the listener was, who he listened to our show on his ship.
Yeah.
Like he was like a freight
ship. He is the
ship.
Captain now.
Yeah, he's like a freight ship, and he would listen to it, and he played our show over the speakers of the ship. And I was like, well, we made it, Mama. We made it. We made it by one listener who's on a freight ship. You know you got there.
We haven't heard him in a while. Hopefully he's all right.
Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah, I don't remember who his name was, but he is the captain. I haven't heard.
The captain.
You know what? On the next baseball episode, let's do a wellness check on the captain.
Hey, captain.
Yeah. So,
hey, captain men.
I have got, where did it go? Okay. I have got a cliche from my book, The Dictionary of Clichés, that Bogman bought me. That will now be a thing. Fly in the face of. That is a cliche. It's to defy or challenge, to act against the odds. According to the Oxford English Oxford English Dictionary. Say that real quick. Oxford English Dictionary. Say that three
times. Oxford English Dictionary.
Say it three times fast.
Oxford English Dictionary.
That's not three times fast.
Oxford English Dictionary.
Say it three
Oxford
times.
Oxford English Dictionary. $500.
Why do you keep stopping between
$500?
Say why now? three chicken nuggets. I'm the dude. Where's my car? And then
the Bubble Boy. $500.
Yeah, that was no. It's actually, you know what? Low key funny movie with Jake Gyllenhaal. As
oh
Bubble
yeah,
Boy.
Yeah.
People don't know.
It was pretty funny, man. Yeah. That is like one of the three things that Christina Hendricks' husband did to get Christina Hendricks, apparently.
Mm. Who's her husband?
The Snozzberries Taste Like Snozzberries guy from Super Troopers.
Get out of here.
I almost won $100 right there.
I almost cursed so many words. That
how do you not know this?
Weird fly-looking dude. Is married to Christina Hendricks, Yabos herself.
Yes, dude, look it up.
Mama Yabos.
How do you not know this?
You are effing with me.
No, I'm not. I swear to God.
I'm looking this up right now. Christina Hendricks. Oh, that's actually the first thing that comes up.
That's why, you know, if you're
healthy,
you got a chance.
This squirrely looking Jeffrey Arend, get out.
He's known for like one line and everything.
I am speechless.
He was in The Ringer. He was the When the F Did We Get Ice Cream guy. And he was the Snozzberries Taste Like Snozzberries guy.
I have been brought to be, Bogman, you know me, I am speechless that the Snozzberry guy and the pictures of these two next to each other, you know what it reminds
me of?
It's like
Photoshop. It looks like Photoshop. It looks like a serial killer went in and put himself next to Christina Hendricks.
I'm looking at one. As you are saying that, I'm looking at the most glamorous picture of her, and he's wearing all black, and he looks like John Wayne Gacy. The look in his face is, I am going to eat this chick's neck when I get home. This is unbelievable to me. You know what this is like?
I don't know how you were the only person in America that didn't know this.
No, this is like the scene.
Our friend Will has been complaining about this forever.
This is like the scene in what's the Sarah Marshall? Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah, where like, me tumbo, get out of the shot.
Yeah, get out of the shot. And she's all glamorous and he just moved. I cannot believe Snozzberry guy is rocking that. You have got. How did this happen? There's no way they're still together.
He's funny.
No,
that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're funny, you got a shot. If this funny dude can get Christina Hendricks, come on. You know, he's got. I bet he's really, really funny, but he's only been cast in a couple things.
If I was a counselor, I would put up a picture of these two, especially this one I'm looking at. The first picture that comes up on Google, when you type in Christina Hendricks' husband,
so
the picture of him with this mustache.
You would put
mustache.
This picture up and you'd be like, is this possible?
No, Bogman.
Richie Incognito. And if he said no, you would release him from the hospital.
No, I would say anything is possible. Look at this picture.
Kevin Garnett.
Anything is possible in the world if this guy is married to Christina Hendricks.
Did I just give you life hope? Did that just happen?
Honestly, anything can happen. Like, we could we could be a Monday through Friday talk show.
This is great.
You could have Christina Hendricks.
Yeah, I'm funny.
Yeah.
I mean, that guy's way skinnier.
He's way skinnier than you. I mean, you're better looking than him, but he's way skinnier than you. And taller.
Eyes aren't nearly as bad as
she might be taller than you.
Well, so what? Who cares?
She's done movies.
She's probably taller than that guy, or at least as tall as that guy.
She has done, like, movies with Ryan Gosling, a show with John Hamm, and she goes home to the Snozzberry guy.
I'm so glad that this revelation was made to you. Like, live on the air. That's amazing.
It is incredible. It's an incredible moment in my life that, like, when you said that, I was like, what are you talking about? It's not the Snozzberry guy. Sure enough, it is the Snozzberry guy. Wow. No idea what we were going to talk about. Oh, I know what we were going to talk about. Okay. Just trying to gather myself. I mean, and I am a firm, firm Christina Hendricks guy. She is my brand. 100%.
Well, yeah, and... you know, to be honest, like, you outkicked your coverage, not as much as the Snozzberries guy, but you definitely outkicked your coverage.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. No, I'm very proud of that. But like, nobody outkicked their coverage. Like, the NFL can't control this coverage kick here. Nobody has outkicked their coverage. I see, I can't
this is a
cliche,
running
right?
start from all the way back in the end zone.
I mean, they just didn't even kick off. He just got to start at like the 2 yard line from the end zone. That's what they did here. This is incredible. Like, yeah, absolutely, I did, but no one has done the job that, what's his name? What did I say his name was? Jeffrey Arend.
It's the Snozzberry's guy. Just
Snozzberry guy. Yeah. Jeffrey Arend is an American film, television, voice, and theater
He's
actor.
An American hero.
Dude, he's
my idol.
He brings
hope to many, many people.
He is my idol. Does he have a Twitter account? I'm gonna find it right now. I have a whole thing pulled up on what we're going to talk about, but I don't even want to do it. I want to find... Jeffrey, and he spells it like
your new Your new hero. Is it with a G?
It's with a G. Oh, there he is, Jeffrey Arendt. There it is. He's only got 6,000 followers.
No way. Kidding me?
I'm going to follow him, and I'm going to tweet him right now. And I'm going to say,
Excellent work, my hero.
You are my hero. Did it. Done. Everyone go like that tweet. I just tweeted him, you are my hero, and I followed him. My new hero is my idol. I might change my profile picture to him. What's your secret?
It's got to be humor. Like, she's one of the very few people that say, oh, I'm really into a sense of humor. Every chick that says that, oh, I really like a funny guy, is married to a dude with washboard abs. You know, they all look like Ryan Gosling and Ryan Reynolds had a baby together. You know, oh, I just really like a sense of humor. Christina Hendricks likes a sense of humor.
And you know what, too? The guy's like got 6,000 followers. He's legit going to see my tweet. Like, there's no way he doesn't with only 6,000 followers.
Are you kidding me? You know how many of those tweets he gets?
Well, that's so funny you say that. I was just about to say, like, he's going to see my tweet, and I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, you know, that's a funny tweet. I want to go look at his tweet and replies, and they all have to be guys going, like, you're my hero. I hope he responds to me, and he just goes, I get it, Christina. Like, then he's going to double down as being my favorite human being on the planet. Go like my tweet to him.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
What does he tweet
not
about?
Popping up for
Why
me?
Would you even tweet if you're married to Christina Hendricks?
Here it is.
Oh, by the way, in his profile, he says, luckiest fool in the world. Yeah.
Well, we know, dude. We know, bud. Come on.
We're all aware. You're the luckiest dude. All right. Let's get back to it. Now I got to, like, see, this whole thing, you just ruined the entire segment, by the way, because now I got to go back and find this tweet that I was going to talk about. So sticking on baseball, I saw this. This is not like a big news story or anything like this, but I saw this, and I thought this was fascinating. So there's this female writer named Stacy Godzulius. She writes for Baseball Prospectus, BP Bronx, and the Hardball Times. She was in a – it's hard to, like, get the whole string of these tweets here, but let me see if I can here. Sorry, I'm drinking here. She was in this, like, Twitter conversation about Justin Verlander. Apparently there's a John Heyman article that was talking about Teixeira, Verlander, Cano. And she quote tweets this thing and she goes, some even suggested anti-drug crusader Justin Verlander, who had a memorable tweet about Cano and his advocated for daily testing, says, yes, daily testing. This is in Heyman's article. In order to catch all cheaters, is being hypocritical for saying nothing when ex-Tigers teammate Johnny Peralta was nabbed. Really? Verlander isn't a narc, and he was an employee of the Tigers. He is well within his rights to comment whenever he feels necessary, and his anti-drug stance is nothing if not admirable. So that's what John Heyman writes. She is crapping all over Verlander.
A lot of people were, and I think I made this point before. Isn't, you know, when did Johnny Peralta get popped? Was it 2014? Isn't 4 years enough to change your mind on something too?
Oh, sure. Absolutely. But she writes a tweet. She goes, also, LOL at Verlander wanting daily testing, GTFOW. Get the, you know, out of here, is what she's saying. Well, this morning, what I see is responses from Justin Verlander. He responded back to this, and because she was in this little, like, Twitter conversation with this other guy, Matt Snyder, CBS, where, let me see if I can find it. Again, there's not like a good home for these tweets, so they're kind of all over the board here as I'm pulling them up. And where was that conversation? And then she goes, you know, oh, he wanted daily testing. Shake my head. Someone says, it's amazing that Verlander is better at age 35 than his 20s. We haven't seen anything like that since the steroid era. And then she laughs at the comment. And then this, let's see, people are just making jokes, and she's just, like, doubling down on everything. So Matt Snyder says, and there's no way he actually wants to do that himself. He's just grandstanding to make himself seem holier than thou. And she replies, and she goes, yep.
Well, how can you have, like, how can you know that?
Yeah.
You know,
so Justin Verlander responds, dude. He goes, couple things. I actually did propose this to MLPA, so I'm not, quote, grandstanding. Actually, yes. Without the random testing, the collection process becomes much easier. Then he responds to Stacey Gott's, you know, get the out of here comment.
Right.
I am merely trying to find a deterrent for using PEDs because clearly the current system we have is not enough. Finally, he goes at her and says, lastly, why would you come at someone who is just trying to help the game be cleaner? And to no surprise, this was early in the morning, by the way, no response from her.
Crickets.
Crickets from her. I don't even see if she's tweeted since that this morning.
I'm going to borrow from my buddy Kevin Millar. Got him.
Got him. Now, you know what? She is tweeting. She's tweeting about a bunch of stuff. Zero comments to Justin Verlander after crapping all over him. And, you know, I think he put all these people in their place. I mean, I think, you know, she looks like an idiot for doing this type of stuff. Because guess what? Even if we do it, I'm cool. What's his name? Jeffrey Aaron. If you wanted to call me an idiot, that's fine. If people are going to be dumb on Twitter, be prepared to, like, be called out for it if you're going to call out players. Like, I'm prepared for it. I'll also at players if I'm going to do it. She didn't even at. They just, like, put it in and started talking about it. And she has no. Crazy. And what I think is the most childish portion of this is there's no comment. Now, maybe there's a DM conversation or something like that. Maybe she was talked to. I don't know what it is. But I think you look a little bit more like the a-hole here because Verlander, you got to commend him, man. You know, I think that's a legit option. And he proposed it.
And yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing. Like, there's a difference between saying something and then being there at the MLBPA meeting saying, I think this is what we should do. And, you know, obviously, like you said, the whole bargaining agreement would be better if they didn't have any random testing at all, because I don't really think it's a thing of invading their privacy. I think it's a thing of, like, I want to go on vacation for a week, you know, and I don't want to have some weirdo taking my blood every single day. That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's more the problem than it is, you know, guys not wanting the game to be clean. They just don't want to have to do it every single day. But, you know, they're making enough money that if this was a thing that they wanted to do and they agreed to it in collective bargaining, they could do it. Everybody looks like an idiot here except Justin Verlander.
You know what's funny, too, is she thinks she's really funny. She doesn't. I don't see a single comment back to him. I'm going to look again. But then she had put a tweet out sometime Friday night, or I guess it was probably Friday around, that would be like 7 Eastern or something, where she says, I'm always embroiled in a brouhaha with an Astros fan. It never fails.
Well, he's not an Astros fan.
That's the
joke. He's an Astros player, and he's a leader in the MLBPA, so shut your mouth.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That's you got schooled on this. And you know what? It might be better for her to just take the L.
Well, by the way, the guy Matt Snyder, yeah, exactly, take the L. That's a great point, Bogman. That's the thing to take away from this. Take the L. Matt Snyder, CBS, a CBS contributor, he took the L. He goes, fair enough, I'll take you at your word. That's all he had to say. And as people were starting to rip into him, take the L.
Sometimes you have to.
Yeah. Stacy Gotsoulias, take the L. Justin Verlander, props to you. All right, we'll be back. It's In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things. Just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Welcome in this league.
I love you.
Ready to party!
Welcome back. In this league, I am Chris Welsh. That is Scott Bogman, the arch nemesis of Swamp Thing. Welsh is fine fruits.
Fine fruits.
Welch is grape soda. The joke never gets old, Bogman. Never gets old when someone calls me Welch.
The Welch. That's right.
The Welch. It's a good tone. Good. No comments so far from my Jeffrey Arend, my idol.
Well, he's got better things to do, like paying attention to Christina Hendricks and worshiping the ground she walks on. So
that's what I would do. 1,000%. Let's see. I'm going to give you a new cliche on page 259. Yes. It says, rest in peace. Let that be an Intuit. Don't dig up old scandal about him or her. Ooh, we should give that to Stacy. She'll want that later. But how about let's rest in peace, maybe the Paul Goldschmidt hate. Are we ready to put that to rest, Bogman?
Well, I tell you what, Friday night, Paul Goldschmidt went 2-for-5 with a triple, a double, 2 RBI, and a run. He had one infield pop-up, which what he was hacking on the first pitch, but the other two, he hit to the track. And I mean, those dudes were up against feeling for the wall when they were backing up. So it looks like maybe he's coming out of it after that game. Now, we have had a couple games where he has either hit a homer, which to me, he kind of looked like he lucked into a couple of them, where he hit a bomb or something, and it looked like, here we go. This is time to come around. But this game, he hit everything except that pop-up real, real hard.
And that's what we've been waiting for. We've been waiting for the turnaround of Goldie because
stinging it.
No player, there's no single player that has had such a fall-off from fantasy owners than Paul Goldschmidt. I mean, people are selling pennies on the dollar at this point. The trades I'm seeing surrounded by Paul Goldschmidt right now, there are people that are done. They are out. One of the guys in the ITL Army, our guy Cole Speedman, had a trade that was going on in a league. I think it was just standard, you know, it was a roto league, but it was like, you know, everything else was standard daily stuff where Paul Goldschmidt for Otani went down. And
it wasn't his league. It was his buddy's.
Yeah, it was his buddy's
league. His buddy was telling him he traded Paul Goldschmidt for Shohei Otani, the pitcher, because it was a Yahoo league.
And defended all of it. Defended all of it. And that is a wild trade that I would never do. And I get if you're out on Goldie. I mean, we said that before. Like, if you're out on Goldie, why ask us questions?
And I'm still genuinely worried about Goldie.
Sure.
But, and the big thing here is if you look at kind of standard numbers, you know, you're like, all right, swing strike rate is up a little bit. His ISO is obviously way down, but his BABIP is really, really bad. It's 279. It's the lowest he's ever had in his career. And the lowest before that was 323 his rookie year. So, you know, we're talking about 43 points different, 44 points different here from his rookie season, which was his worst by 17 points before that, 340 his second year. But the biggest thing that is plaguing him is his soft contact rate. It's 21.8%. It's never been higher than 14.2 ever. Man, and last year was 11.3. So he's just not squaring up the ball. So Friday night, having a game where you square up the ball on 4 out of 5 of your at-bats, that is a huge thing.
It's a great start. It's a great start to the turnaround. That's all that we're looking for here. Because like I said, if you have made up your mind, why ask? You know, because like so many times, I mean, this is a tip for people that, you know, listen to podcasts or listen to, you know, comment and talk to fantasy people. When you've made up your mind and you ask a question and someone gives you an answer and then you argue the answer, it's annoying. It's super annoying. And it's like, well, why are you asking me the question if you feel this way? Like if you want a follow-up answer, that's okay. But there's a
sometimes you're just trying to get a dissenting opinion, which is fine.
And you can have
a
follow-up
question
to it.
But when you say, but what about this? Well, come on, man. Like, I told you my opinion on this thing.
Yeah, what more do you
want? Don't try to convince me.
Yeah, I mean, some people like to debate. I don't like to debate, but some people like to go through debate. But what I'm getting at, though, regardless of all that, if you've made up your mind about it, then you just go forward with your question. I can already tell you, like, if you've gotten to that point, like, there's a genuine kind of like, you know, yeah, I don't know, what do you think? But if you're like, yeah, I think I'm going to do this because it's okay, then go ahead and do it because you've made up your mind. I, and you agree with me here, we're both worried about Goldie. We've been worried about Goldie. But there are no, I have not seen a trade come in yet where you trade away Goldie and I'm comfortable with the return there. Maybe it's safe for the now. But I think Goldie is going to turn this around. You know, he has, and I went through a whole thing on the baseball pod that, like, the only thing we all truly know is, you know, the track record of a player. We can't predict. I mean, we can go through analytics and stuff, and we can see what the problem is. We can hope and assume, you know.
And people were down on him for the humidor, but it wasn't like he's going to hit 200 down on him and only drive in 15 runs by, you know, the time June comes around. Nothing like that. It was, yeah, his power number is probably going to suffer.
Well,
so he's going to be more of a middle second round pick than a middle first round pick.
And we wanted to say, you want to say like, oh, maybe this does have something to do with the humidor. You know, it's a more weighted ball. Maybe that's why there is more soft
probably
contact.
Does.
But other guys are still pimping it. You know, Daniel Descalso, Nick Ahmed is hitting homers. You know, like there are things you can look
at. AJ Pollock was one of the best players in baseball before breaking his thumb.
Absolutely.
So.
Hell yeah. So why would Goldie be affected by a little bit more of a weighted ball to have so much soft contact, to be so lost at the plate? Things didn't add up based on the track record. So to me, he was a firm, you don't move him. You know, he's a guy that you go acquire because the cost is at an all-time low. And if you go acquire Paul Goldschmidt, which I still think you can do, this one game doesn't do anything. You can still get him. If you get him from now moving forward, you might be getting that Paul Goldschmidt. You might be getting a first-round talent. You're taking a risk, but I think the risk is it's minimal.
Yeah, absolutely. It is minimal. I'm worried about him, but you like the Welsh said, you have to look at this overall track record. The overall track record of Paul Goldschmidt is he had 36 home runs and drove in 120 last year. Now, obviously, he's not getting to those numbers this year unless he hits like Babe Ruth for the entire second half. But he can definitely improve. And if you can get normal Goldie or 85 to 90% Goldie from this point moving forward, why wouldn't you want to go do that? And, you know, like the Welsh said, no one can guarantee that's going to be what it is. But I think you would have to assume that he's going to improve these numbers. And Friday night was huge towards getting him back in there. So what's the best player, the Welsh? And I know you hate these because I kind of put you on the spot here. But in the range of the best player you would give up for a Paul Goldschmidt, like today, if someone is offering you Paul Goldschmidt,
Hanley Ramirez. I don't know, man. Like, I don't want
incognito.
I'm not going to give up a top 20 player. Okay, I got this question. And
so, what about a top 20 preseason or a top 20 current?
Okay, well, I think it's two sided. I got this question, and actually, you know what? It wasn't about Goldie. I was, you know what it was? It was, and I thought they were messing with us because of our Hoskins thing. Did you see the question? Would you trade Hoskins to get Jed Lowry? And I just like, I didn't answer it. And I was like, no, like that's asinine. Like, absolutely not.
I didn't see it.
Okay. So looking at some of these guys,
we've gone through the Albies thing. We did that poll and more people went with Albies.
I think I wouldn't trade Albies for Goldie right now. I just wouldn't make that trade, even though I believe he'll turn it around. Albies is too fire right now.
Trade Joey Votto. Joey Votto's been struggling, but not as much as Goldie.
Those guys are really close. I don't know. I mean, maybe. Like, if you're looking at like some of these top players, I got one for you. Gene Segura.
Ooh.
Hitting 317, three homers, 11 stolen bases, 30s on the RBIs and runs.
Boy, to homer out just for a second here, how bad does that trade look for the Diamondbacks right now?
No doubt.
They gave up Mitch Haniger as a throw-in in that Gene Segura deal.
And they got Taijuan Walker, who is
out for the year.
Tommy Johned.
Right.
Bad trade.
Okay. So what was the question
you
again?
You give up Gene Segura to get Paul Goldschmidt.
Yes.
Yeah, it's yes for me too. Even though he's playing well. That's the type of thing you got to do. And he is ranked in a standard 5x5 on Yahoo. He is the, let me see if I can do the math. Let's see, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. He's the 10th offensive player.
Give up Gary Sanchez. He's only hitting 228,
really,
but he's got 12 bombs.
See, I think that's too high. Like, I don't want to give up. I'm not giving up like a second, like preseason. I don't think there's any preseason. Let me look at the preseason, guys. I'm not sure.
Rizzo's probably in there because Rizzo's just as bad as Goldie.
That's a pretty even trade across the board.
Right.
If you're going to preseason guys, I think it's pretty tough. I might give up Bellinger. I give up Bellinger for Goldie.
I give up Bellinger. We give up Jose Abreu. He's only got 8 homers, but he's hitting .302, and he could get traded to a team with a better offense.
I think I would.
I think I would too.
Push come to shove, I would.
Easy, yes, right?
Yeah, I would do that too.
Dozier struggling.
So I mean, we created the line. Those are some. Yeah. So I mean, those are the preseason guys. The current guys that are really eating it up. That maybe kind of fall like Javier Baez. I mean, I think I would. I'm still doing it, but he's just like, killing it right now. I'm trying to see if there's any others that fall along those lines.
Any good one? What about Tommy Pham?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I saw one, Justin Upton. He's only hitting .250, so I would.
Yeah, I'd give up Justin Upton.
Let me try to find one more.
Would you give up El Torito?
Yes, I would. Absolutely.
How can you give up a guy hitting .343, the Welsh?
It's good for him. I would absolutely do that. I guess there's... Like, a lot of the guys that are performing at high levels, they're no-brainers for me. Like, Jed Lowry, you know, CJ Cron, like, that's no-brainer.
Andrew Benintendi's 44 overall.
I was about to say Benintendi. I would still do it. Easy.
I think I would do it, too.
Yeah, so, I mean, I think we kind of set the line. You know, I'm going to trade Josh Donaldson to get Paul Goldschmidt. I don't know if the other people are actually going to do that, but I think those are easy wins if you can pull that off. Easy.
You remember when Giancarlo Stanton was going to hit 80 homers in Yankee Stadium, by the way?
I do.
Remember when everybody's saying that? Now he's got 11. That's no slouch, but so does Yengar Solarte.
Something I actually want to do. I haven't even told you about this. Something I want to do. A little teaser for. No, it's nothing crazy. Probably won't do it on this Sunday's or Monday's episode of the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast, where we have Derek Van Riper from RotoWire on. We usually don't have enough necessarily time there because of the interview and some of the stuff we do. But for the Thursday episode, which we release, I want to talk about. I want to hit both of these if we can. The top 5 overall fantasy things that were wrong. The top 5 industry-wide wrong sentiments. That's what I want to do. And I want to do the positive. I don't know if we'll have to do that across episodes or if we can fit them in both. But because I've got a couple in mind, and I don't want to spoil it here. But like... You know, it can't obviously like no one. There's no actual true agreement across the industry, but there's an overall kind of like sense. Like I would say,
things were said, right?
Yeah, like I don't think Stanton falls in this, but overall, the hype got so crazy on Stanton that like Stanton was going to break like a home run record. Remember, like he's going to hit 60 homers. Like that was like a consensus. He's going to be an easy top 8 player in fantasy.
I'm excited, and I'm still excited about Stanton hitting in New York. Like when he turns it on, you know, the weather warms up, it gets real hot in New York. Some of the pitchers are a little bit worn out because they have some innings on them. Like that ball's going to start flying.
Yeah, he's going to have a great summer. But that was like a consensus opinion. Now, it's not – that's why I say he doesn't fall on either side. He doesn't fall on the wrong or the right.
Yeah, right. Type of thing. He's in the middle. Yep.
He's somewhere in the middle. But I want to kind of cover, because like I said, I've got a couple in my mind right now that fall along the wrong and the right. And that's something that we're going to cover. So if you want In This League
Daniel
Fantasy
Murphy
Baseball.
Coming back
before June. That wasn't a consensus. That was a Welsh is wrong. Though he is on Saturday starting his rehab assignment.
Ah, yes.
Yes. So
get him back in.
I think we might have him back for like week 10. So he is
that
whole June thing. I know. Let's go. That's what I'm excited about, that Daniel Murphy's coming back. But I think that'll be fun. I think that'll be a fun conversation to have. And we'll tease it on the next episode so maybe people can, of the In This League Fantasy Baseball Podcast, people can kind of like, you know, put in their opinion. Like, what do you think, you know, the most wrong were? And we'll pull out because, like I said, I'm going to make a list and you can do the same. We'll kind of create our list together and then we'll compare it against what listeners say because I think that will be a fun exercise to look back on. And, you know, I mean, Goldie will probably show up on that list. And because
I say we'll pull out.
We'll pull out. Can I say
we'll
that?
Pull
on there?
Out. I don't know. Did I just win some money? No, I think you're right about all this stuff. I got before we go to break here. I want to lay a question on you and then you can think about it.
And I got a stat, too. I got a
because
stat
it's well, let's do your stat first. What's
OK,
stat?
Well, it's not even an awesome stat, by the way, but it's like. Did you know, first off, that Matt Davidson has hit 11 homers?
I knew it was a bunch because he hits them in bunches. He keeps hitting like 4 and then 3 and then whatever.
I'm going to have to check this because this is – you know how many runs he has?
13? I don't know.
He has 19 runs. Did you know?
11 homers. Well, White Sox offense isn't great.
Wow. I'm looking here. There are three. Okay, let's see if you can get this. Wow, this other one is crazy. Okay. There are three players with double-digit homers that are in the teens on runs. One of them is obviously Matt Davidson. Do you know who the other two are?
Oh, God. No, I don't know who they are.
One is really good player, and one is a player that it was just coming on crazy.
Well, Solarte's coming on crazy. I know he's double digits. No. Is he one of them?
No.
I was going to say he plays for Toronto.
One is NL, one is AL.
Cron.
No, that's a good one, but no.
Oh, I don't know. Who are they?
CJ Cron has 28 runs, by the way, to 11 homers. One, Matt Davidson, who has 11 homers and also 19 runs. So he's just like stupid Matt Davidson. So Matt Adams. Did I say Matt Davidson?
Yeah, you said Matt Davidson. Adams, he's just like Matt Davidson.
Yeah, well, he is. So technically, that was right. So I mean, don't at me. The second one, listen to this. 10 homers, 16 runs for Edwin Encarnacion.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
16 runs this guy has, 25 RBIs. It's not a good look. That's not a good look. All right, so tease what we're going to talk about on the break.
This is a keeper trade. It would be Noah Syndergaard at a 12. This is great value.
Okay.
For Vlad at a 27. Vlad Jr.
Ooh.
At a very last pick. What would you do?
Ooh.
In that situation?
I like it. All right. What would you do? Vlad at a 26 or Noah Syndergaard at a 12? And you're in Dynasty. We'll talk about that when we get back on the other side of this break for In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Go to InThisLeague.com. Maybe do a little follow on Twitter. Is it the Welsh Bogman Sports? Go follow my bestie, Jeffrey Arend. He's my idol. I love that guy. I love Christina Hendricks. Ooh.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends? Listen to
In This League.
In the dark?
Yes, they do. They listen to In This League in the light, the dark, underwater. Could you listen to podcasts underwater?
Yeah, you could.
Do they have like
I don't know why you would, but you could.
Why? Wow, that'd be awesome. That's a goal. We got the ship. If somebody was like
somebody
scuba
on a submarine.
Diving, that'd be awesome. Oh, well, no, not that type of underwater. That's cheating. You can download an episode. I mean, like scuba diving with a helmet. Like, don't you think like scuba equipment would have to, like, everything has a auxiliary port and a USB port. Like, you see these couches that are being sold now that they have a phone charger in them.
Why
like,
not?
There's got to be a scuba like helmet that's got like an auxiliary port for podcasting.
I'm sure there's one. Yeah,
play your jams. 100%. Okay, well, someone do that. Listen to us underwater.
Right.
And a microwave. So, yeah, don't listen to us underwater in your bathtub as you're dropping the toaster.
Yeah, please don't do that.
No, please don't do that. Great question that Bogman posed as we were going to break. And why don't you reset, Boggs?
It was a keeper league. You keep five, and you keep them in the round. The round goes up once per year. And this guy has Noah Syndergaard at a 12. Versus Vlad Jr. he can trade for at a 27. Also, caveat here, the Welsh, his team name is the Syndergaardians.
Ooh, that does play.
Gonna have to change the whole name now.
Syndergaard. I feel like the Syndergaardians of the Galaxy would be a better name.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it doesn't all fit.
Well, they're probably playing, they play on
probably
Yahoo then?
Pretty long.
Yeah, yeah, play on Yahoo where you can only
who
be.
Knows?
You probably couldn't even put Syndergaard as your name on Yahoo for
You'd
a team.
Probably
name.
Write a book on Fantrax. So
probably Cinder Guardians of the Galaxy is pretty good, though.
Yeah. That's
am
solid.
I right? Am I right?
Am I right? Yeah. This is your guy, Ryan Werkheiser.
Okay. Werkheiser. Now, where is he in the standings?
I don't know where he is in the standings, but I wanna tell you his keepers after you answer in a vacuum.
Okay, how many keep? Oh, so this is not a true dynasty. This is a keeper.
This is five. Yes.
Okay. Go.
Get to keep five. So
great.
Syndergaard or Vlad in a vacuum first, and then I'll give you his keepers.
Great. Give them to me.
No. You answer first in a vacuum.
Oh, okay. I was like, why are you not telling me the keepers?
Yeah, I'm like, answer the question, and you just keep saying great. I don't know what's going on.
I didn't know what was going on either.
Yeah, you're trying to call me stupid while you're being stupid. I get it. Yeah. It happens.
Well, that's why I have a book of cliches. Get the lead out of your feet. It says move. Pep it up. Usually magnesium. Said as an imperative. Literally to have the weight of lead in. Shut up. Ooh, I almost lost $100. That was the closest I've ever come on this radio show to losing our $100 curse bet. I was like my lips were curled on my teeth as I was about to say the word. This book made me so mad giving that.
I like that books make you mad. Just in general.
Too. Yeah, they do. I'll be honest with you. In a keeper dynasty format. It's Vlad, and that's tough to say because Syndergaard is an elite talent, and if you're trying to win now, it's like a no-brainer type of thing, but, you know, Syndergaard for Vlad 2 years ago, it falls along the lines of like kind of like no-brainery type of thing, you know, like Syndergaard's going to help you for 2 years. I mean, Vlad's up in days, you know what I mean? Like, right. He's going to be up so shortly. He is an incredible talent. He's going to smash. And I don't know if I'm going to say that Vlad is going to already rank above Syndergaard this coming season that we're going to have. But by the following season, he will. Like, he will be a second-round pick.
And Syndergaard is going to be a high pick for a long time, as long as he doesn't fall into that, you know, injury-plagued type of person.
Now, give me the keeper stuff. Like, how many do you keep? Because
keepers make this
dynasty.
Easy. It's five, like I said before.
Okay.
And three of them guaranteed are Eloy Jimenez, Juan Soto, and Nick Senzel. And they're at Eloy and Soto are at 25s, and Senzel is at 18. And then he has to choose between Will Myers, and one of the Seager brothers. He didn't say which one at a 10.
I think
and
it was
or an 11.
It's Corey, I think.
Okay, so Corey Seager probably at a 10. So Corey Seager at a 10, Eloy Soto and Senzel. And that's like, I had already said Vlad, and after that I said, that looks like a rebuild too. I mean, I'm definitely going to go
it's
Vlad.
That's a no-brainer now. Yeah, you're 100% right, because it's not like he had, you know, Goldie, Freddie Freeman, Bryce Harper, and Madison Bumgarner.
Yeah,
and
Corey Kluber or somebody, right?
Yeah. I mean, that is a if you're going in with Eloy, Senzel, and Soto, this is a no-brainer rebuild. Pretty good-looking rebuild for the next year because...
Yeah, especially with those low values, man.
Yeah,
that's
and
great.
All of those guys should be up by this year. You know, impact, I don't know. Like, you may not have... I don't know why I said it like that. Impact? The impact that you're going to have for
on
this
campus?
Coming season on campus? that's an inside joke. That I don't... Like, I still don't think you're going to compete because I don't know if all of those guys are going to be competing at a high level this coming season. But, I mean, you're 2 years away. You're 2 years away from having a pretty slick team with Soto, Vlad, Eloy. I mean, those guys are going to kind of dominate. And then and Senzel in there as well. The other guy, who is the other guy? The fifth guy?
Eloy, Soto, and Senzel.
No.
And Seager.
Corey Seager. I mean, I don't know. I think it's a pretty good spot. I don't want to call it a no-brainer because I think I only caught glimpses of the conversation. I didn't remember the context of any of it, but I remember seeing somebody say something along the lines of, and now it all makes sense, Syndergaard, and it's a no-brainer. And I didn't understand what the context was when I saw this thing pop up. But there are people that are going to be like, well, Noah Syndergaard is an elite pitcher. He's a top tier, especially when pitching is kind of meh. And that's why they view it as a no-brainer.
I mean, one other thing, the Welsh, if you're able to acquire these super, super high-rated minor league hitters at low, low values like this, you're definitely going to be able to get to the pitchers, because the pitchers, like Michael Kopech, could be a free agent. Forrest Whitley probably is definitely a free agent in a league like this, where you're just, I mean, I'm going to assume that when you're taking guys in the 25th round, you're getting them up off the wire, right?
Well, and it's
Vlad
a great,
was a last.
It's a great point. All your guys are practically in the last round. You have all your top 10 picks, whatever it is to take guys. And in a league like this, people are going to be putting back like good, like I could see Josh Donaldson. If Josh Donaldson costs you a second round pick, people are probably going to put him back. Goldie could go back if he's a first round pick. You're going to be able to scoop up serious talent to go with these young guys. It's a pretty interesting strategy that you put yourself in, and I really like it. And obviously you're rebuilding. So for it, the more that we go through it, it is a no-brainer. I think some people would sit here and say, oh, it's a no-brainer, guys, no doubt. But I think everything deserves context, and everything deserves – and Noah Syndergaard, like if it were much lower than Syndergaard, this would be an absolute no-brainer to me. But Syndergaard is one of those guys. He's young. He could be the number one fantasy pitcher, you know, in 2 years, that type of stuff. So he's kind of the what's a cliche I'm looking for? He's kind of like what is it? The something of the example? What's the word I'm looking for? What's the thing I'm looking for?
I have no idea what you're looking for. But what I was going to say, while you look that up in your book, that
I don't even know what to look up.
Man, if that thing would have won me $100, it would have been the best $8 I've ever
That would have been the best investment you ever made in your
me?
Life. I can't tell you how close it
returned me back
was.
92% or whatever that is.
Yeah.
So I would say that also, why can't you acquire a starting pitcher if, you know, you can take Juan Soto at a 25 and say, hey, I've got Juan Soto at a 25. I'm looking for a good starting pitcher. And somebody up at a 6 or a 7 is going to say, okay, well, you know, I need a hitter. I've got two or three of these pitchers. I'm going to flip one.
Okay, let me ask you this
one of these great, you know, okay. What's the example of what?
I don't even know what that is anymore. Juan Soto at a last round or Noah Syndergaard at a 12?
Because
you were just talking about trading Juan Soto.
Yeah.
I'm not trading Juan Soto. I'm not.
I think I'd take Syndergaard in that.
I think it is. It is closer.
It's very, very close. But I think I would take Syndergaard in that, because Vlad is just like a special, special talent. You know, like he has a chance to be a top five pick really soon here. So, I mean, he also, you know, any guy that has the potential to do that and hasn't had an at bat in the bigs yet also has the potential to bottom out and not be worth anything. We know that about all kinds of guys.
Dude, I wish I owned more shares of Vlad. I only have him in one league. I have him in we do this three sport league of football, baseball, basketball, and you can like interleague trade and all that. It's a cool league. But that's the only one I have him in. And I have Acuña in that. I have Acuña in our long-term ITL dynasty, and then I've got Vlad Jr. in that league, in the three sport league. And I just wish I had more shares of Vlad Jr. I want to acquire him.
How many shares of Alex Reyes do you have? Because that dude has been torching.
It's a good point.
Minor leagues since he's come back. What does he have? 44 strikeouts and 27 innings? Or
well, in the minor league. Yeah. He's unreal. He set like some Memphis record, you know, of like four straight 9+ strikeout games. Alex Reyes, before his injury last year, was my number one rated fantasy pitching prospect. And he was inside my top 10. And that doesn't happen very often. You know, all the prospect ranks I do at Prospect One. Once he started to come back and we saw the dominance off of Tommy John, he vaulted back. Because I moved him down to fourth in starting pitching. He was behind Walker Buehler, Forrest Whitley, and Michael Kopech. And Reyes jumped above all of them, because that's how
I got him at number one again?
Yeah, he's the number one fantasy pitching prospect. He's not, I think he might be number 10 or 11 on my list overall.
What if Alex Reyes is available in Werkheiser's league? What if he's just like sitting on the wire?
So then
will you drop any of those guys for him?
It's Corey Seager or Alex Reyes. Corey Seager at what, a 10? Or Alex Reyes at a last?
Alex Reyes for me. I'm not a Seager guy at all.
It might be close, because here's the deal.
And Will Myers is injury prone at this point, so why not?
The Cardinals admitted that there's no restrictions or pitching limit on Alex Reyes for the rest of this year, because he's going to come back up in June. Like, that's when he's going to come up. There is no pitching limit on him. He is free reign. He is striking guys out at an incredible clip, and he is coming up this week. I mean, he just had his final start. I think he might be pitching like Tuesday or Wednesday or something like that.
You just call him free range?
Free range Reyes?
Free range, right? Is that what you just said?
I don't know. I have no idea. Replay free the range. Tape. Free range. Free range, Alex.
You know, I think you said free reign. Okay, I get it. Free reign as
yeah,
in
but I like free range
as much as you want. Free range Reyes.
I like that idea. he's incredible. His pitch mix, how he throws, it looks like he's lost nothing from Tommy John, and we don't see that often. The only guy that I can think of over the last couple of years that didn't show, didn't have like big, you know, effects from it is actually Walker Buehler. Like that guy came back. They pitched him in more of a relief role last year with the Dodgers, and he was so dominant. And this year he's coming out crazy. Alex Reyes looks like he has missed nothing, and he's going to go back into a full rotation. So he is a really interesting case here because this is a guy that I think some people might be sleeping on because of the Tommy John. He's going to get a full season of starting, and we have an opportunity. There's an opportunity that he could vault himself into like last year's Luis Severino, because then he'll be really popular this next coming season, and then he might do what Severino is doing this year, next year. You know, he might dominate and move into that ace status. That's how good Alex Reyes is.
Yeah, I mean, I love it.
Remember what I said a year and a half ago or 2 years ago, where look out because Alex Reyes could be the number one pitcher for the Cardinals over Carlos Martinez very soon. And then obviously
that looks
Tommy
more
John.
And more realistic with Carlos Martinez, not only his injury this year, but, you know, his numbers have been not terrible, but off from normal Carlos Martinez.
It's really incredible the prospect, like, I mean, I talked about this a little bit on Prospect One, which, by the way, if you are getting kind of ramped up for just a tiny bit over a week from now, the MLB draft, I had an episode with Jim Callis, and then I just did an episode with a bunch of guests, Chris Blessing from Baseball HQ, Jason Waddell, Eddie Almaguer, just talking about tons of prospects. And I gushed a little bit about Juan Soto and stuff. But, you know, just talking about the performance of the rookies this year, it's pretty incredible. From, you know, the pitching, like Mike Soroka, Jack Flaherty coming up and being successful.
But even Austin Meadows came up and played well.
That's exactly right, dude. Willy Adames coming up and smacking homers. Austin Meadows. I mean, you're getting these glimpses of the future talent of Major League Baseball. And it's a really good thing when, you know, we're starting to, like guys like Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, you know, they're kind of fading off into the distance.
Sunset time. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. The relevance is going away. Mike Trout, Bryce Harper is going to be the leader of the pack with Trout. But having, you know, these future studs kind of come in and, you know, Acuna and Vlad Guerrero Jr. and Juan Soto. I mean, those all, is it unrealistic to think in 2020, all three of those guys are in the first round of fantasy drafts?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I really don't. I think all three of those guys, Vlad Jr., Soto and Acuna, you could have a first round 3 years from now that has those guys. You probably still have Trout and Harper. You know, maybe Blackman has moved on. He's not in there. Altuve probably still sitting in there. Maybe Goldie's not in there.
I mean, odds are someone's going to fall off, right?
Yeah, sure. Ooh, which one?
Damn it.
I got you first. Gotcha.
Okay, so give me all the options again.
Soto, Vlad Jr., or Ronald Acuna?
I think I'd have to pick Soto if it's those three.
I'm going to shock you. If I had to pick one, Ronald Acuna.
Really?
Yeah.
Just because of his streakiness, more like Justin Upton, that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Now, what's ironic about that is I have had the only in-person coverage I've had of any of those three is Ronald Acuna, and lots. I've been around him a ton. But I have also watched all three of these players an excessive amount. And the difference that Soto and Vlad Jr. have over Acuna is the plate presence and patience. Both of Soto and Acuna Soto and Vlad Jr., they are guys that are going to probably walk more than they strike out. They both have immense power. And a guy like Acuna has incredible power. His BP is amazing. He's got great speed. He can play defense, but he has this hyper aggressiveness that worries me with streakiness. So if you were to say which one could fall off, I'm not sure any fall off completely, but where would be the one that would fall off? I could see a world where Acuna becomes average. Justin Upton. He becomes Justin Upton. Maybe that, stealing a little
still
bit more.
Way above average.
It's totally still above average, but I could see Soto continuing being a great player and Vlad Guerrero Jr. So just by the hit profile, that's where I'm kind of going with that. It's a wild conversation to have, and I like it though. I mean I don't want to know what you listeners have to say, because
is he also the most likely to be one overall over Trout?
Ooh, that's a great point. Yes. I mean, not over Trout, because that'll never happen, but I mean, it will, but
I mean, but
I don't
he steals bases too.
No,
yeah,
that's a great point.
Power.
That's a great point that you bring up.
I don't
up.
Think he has a batting average, but you know.
And that's how interesting he is. That's such a good point, Boggs, because he could be the guy that could fall off, and he also has the best chance of being the number one. Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Great show. Great conversation. You missed any of it, please go back and listen to the podcast over on Spotify or iTunes. Just search it, and always listen to us live, whatever you can. That's Scott Bogman. I'm Chris Welsh. This is In This League. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Go drink barbecue. Do whatever you do. Be safe. We'll talk to you guys next week. Peace out.
See ya.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.